You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Real quick before the show starts, I just want to apologize. We had a little bit of an audio mishap. So for this entire episode, my audio will be echoed. Not Christian's. Christian's perfectly fine. Very clear. Once again, his is without a problem. Mine, always an issue. I honestly think he's doing it on purpose. But yeah, you are going to hear me echoed throughout this entire episode. I apologize. Again, there's nothing we can do to fix it at this point. It is what it is. So here is the episode. Hopefully, it's not too annoying.
My light troops, back again. About my blood clot, yang, all of that. Man came on the Cooligans and shut the thing down. Make sure you watch. If you don't, you're a ham roll blood.
Let's go.
What is good, everyone? Welcome to the final Prem Show of 2021.
Thank God you said 2021. I was like, what did Christian not tell me?
This is the series finale of 2021. Welcome to the Prem Show. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right, it is, and I'm Alexis Guerrero.
There it is. People are redeeming their channel points with their air horns. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest football/soccer show right here on Twitch every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
That's right. We also happen to be the gulliest. And yo, shouts to everyone in the Twitch chat right now. If you want to join the Twitch, if you want to be a part of the funny people we mention all day during this entire show, all you gotta do is go to edtwitch.com or twitch.tv/soccercooligans. We got some funny people over here. Barry Gunas at Bing Bong, okay. And Trey Young. Yo, you know Trey Young can't come to Dykeman.
MLS Ireland
says, what's up, lads?
What's up, MLS Ireland?
You know what's got me missing Ireland right now? On YouTube, I found a guy called the Guinness Guru, and all he does is go to different bars with the wild herpes on his lip. Thank you, man. Jacinto.
Perfect timing. Thank you for hosting me. Okay, wait, what?
Yo, my guy got wild herpes on his lip. Like, egregious herpes.
This has you missing Ireland. What?
No, hold on. Not just that part. Not just that part. He goes to different pubs and rates their Guinness, and that's it.
Where does the herpes come into play?
Just he does this while also having wild herpes. The whole time I'm like, has no one ever mentioned the herpes? How about you don't film when you flaring up, my G? He got wild herpes on the lip.
Okay. Always a fun.
He must be stressed. he must really.
Alexis misses Ireland because of herpes. Yeah, you know, when you leave the herpes behind, you tend to have.
What happens in Ireland stays in Ireland. No, but the guy, you know, like. We have people that rate food here in the States. This guy just Guinness. That's it.
Well, we should do a show where we rate the herp on his lip while he's reviewing the Guinness.
Bro, hold it up. It's significant.
It is going to be.
And it should be credited on the show. As a
guest
character star,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know how like a sitcom has a fun musical intro and then the herpes has like a fun little.
Honestly, it's not even a guest star. It's a recurring character. It's significant enough to be on the call sheet. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. I promise we'll get to the football in a moment, but thank you for tuning in, everybody. Happy holidays, happy new year, which is coming up in a couple days. 2021 was trash for some, was successful for others. Who knows? It's been an absolute mess, but we are trying to find the positive and make the most of it. But everybody, thank you. So, you know, we'll say it throughout the show, but everybody who's listened to the Cooligans, whether you follow us, watch the TV show or whatever, absolutely grateful to you. It's been an interesting year of trying to make things feel somewhat normal, but then Omicron was like, hold up, fam, because I ain't done. I was trying to talk to you, and you didn't want to finish our conversation, so I really had to
go. Much like the herpes on my guy's lip, it popped up and won't go away.
Okay, I came here. I'm here with a new name, okay? I got a new fit, all right? And
I changed, girl. I promise you, I'm never going to leave you.
I'm different now, okay?
Yo, what you know about that long COVID, girl?
Okay, how many inches is that COVID? Okay.
Dang.
Wow, I know. I'm going to need a ventilator. I don't know if I can handle all that, okay? Again, we're trying to be as positive and optimistic as possible, and we hope your 2022 is much, much improved. Okay, but where to begin? Where to begin today? Well, where do we start?
Let's just look at the table as this is the table as it will sit heading into 2022. What are we, Germany?
That's the only thing, if you were here before we started the show.
Heading into 2022, because I think what we're seeing is a significant change from, you know, what I think everyone expected. I thought Chelsea would be head of the pack by now. I thought the league was going to be theirs. I thought they ended the season pretty strongly. All right, we're getting a nice ad here. But if you look, the top three, I think, are pretty settled. No? Would we agree? That it's going to take a lot for these top three to kind of fall out of grace. Liverpool, maybe if Chelsea continues the slide that they kind of been on of not having that top tier form, possibly I think we can see it slide down. We can see Chelsea slide down. Could Arsenal slide all the way up to first? Possible. You know what I mean? It's always a possibility.
I mean, Arsenal. They've been pretty good these last couple games. I mean, you got to give them credit. And look, I would say in these last couple weeks of games being canceled and all this uncertainty and whatever, I would argue, you know, Arsenal and Manchester City have been probably the best performers in. Look, some teams have played 17 games. Is anybody less than 17? No, Burnley's at 15.
Yeah, Burnley is still at 15.
You know, Everton just had one match postponed, and then the Thursday match has been postponed, the one against Newcastle. So in this these uncertain
MLS Ireland said Arsenal getting a nosebleed being up so high. Leave us alone. We are in our comfortable home for many years, fourth place.
This is I would say Chelsea is probably out of all the teams. Sabuteo, thank you so much for the follow.
Thank you, Sabuteo.
Chelsea is probably the team I'm most concerned about. They've been dropping points.
Did you watch today? Liverpool just put up a stinker versus Leicester.
Right, but you know, during these like Boxing Day matches and all these fixtures, somebody's gonna slip up. It's not gonna be Manchester City. I think that's obvious. Because it doesn't matter if the players are exhausted, if they have COVID. The roster is so deep. They sold Ferran Torres, and they're like, I forgot he was here. That's how Pep is like, I haven't even seen this kid in months.
Oh, no. I guess training is going to be a little different next week. It's like nothing changes for them. It's insane.
So Chelsea's probably the biggest concern. They lost. Who did they lose to? They lost to West Ham a couple weeks ago. They drew.
The word you're looking for is fixtures or results.
That's what I'm looking for. They lost. They beat Villa.
No, they beat Villa.
But they lost. It was a couple weeks ago. They lost to West Ham. They drew to Everton,
which is considered a loss.
We talked about this game, and it was like 81% possession, and they only got a point. The 0-0 to Wolves.
Which is massive considering Wolves' season so far.
Right. So that's probably my biggest concern
But again, I think when you look at, in order to stay in the top three, I think you have to. You have to win the easy matches in front of you, right? Because it's already going to be tough to beat your Liverpools, your Cities, Chelsea obviously can't play themselves, but Arsenal can put up a good fight against Chelsea. West Ham aren't going anywhere anytime soon. stuff like that. So if you go out and you drop points against Everton's and Wolves and stuff like that, you're going to have some problems.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Probably, Chelsea's my main concern. Like, even, I think my issue right now, is just, like, I watch Chelsea just to see what Christian Pulisic does and whether he gets starts, whether, in the game against, the one against Villa, or the one before, I don't remember, but the one that he started in, he started as a false nine. This is what I wanted to talk about. Christian Pulisic is playing as a false nine. And when he does, he is not even involved. He's like not even in the game. He is not playing. He barely touches the ball. He is really not doing anything. And then in the second half, he got moved, I believe, over to the right. And it's really incredible because I try to think about, should he play? What position is his best position for the U.S. men's national team? Because he plays the 10 for the U.S. men's national team. But for Chelsea, he is, when he does his false nine, and I don't exactly know why they put him in this position, because he is almost absent. He almost doesn't know exactly when to come out to get the ball and when to stay in the box to receive the ball.
It's almost as if he's playing out of position.
What
are we doing?
I guess it's concerning because obviously we know what he can do. And we know, like, 1v1, he is an absolute beast. And we saw that when he was put out wide, that's essentially what he ended up doing. So I don't understand what is Tuchel's plan with him? That I guess that's my main question.
I think right now he is, and this is the problem with a player like Christian Pulisic, is that he is versatile enough to play multiple positions, right? And he does have that sort of makeup speed. So, if you play him in a false nine position, there's a chance he does well. There's a chance that, you know, he can sort of make that position his own. If you play him on the left, he certainly can play there. If you play him centrally, he certainly can play there because he plays there for the national team. If you play him on the right, he'll figure it out. He's good enough to play in all those positions, but he doesn't look great in any of those positions outside of the ones where, like, I think they had him playing left back at one point or left wing back. You know, at one point
in the season.
I mean, you know, it seems like they're moving him around and trying to figure out a way to get him on the pitch. You paid 77 million or 60 million for him. I forgot exactly what the deal is. You're going to want to find a way to play him. But I think at the end of the day, it's like, you know, someone else said, what Barry Gunnar said, Pulisic needs to transfer out. I kind of agree. And I'm not saying he's not good enough for this level. Oh, Dawnstar said it was right wing back. Damn, you know, they had him all over. What, the goalkeeper's doing him on left? And he gets a free sandwich, you know? he's got a little punch card. Thank you, Dawnstar. That's your first time chatting. It was correcting us. Welcome.
Everybody's welcome.
You kind of already get the vibe, you know? I look at this and I say, what other teams could he be? If he was on a West Ham right now, he'd be balling out of control. You know what I mean? If he was on Everton, he'd be a legend right now.
Don't even.
If he was on Arsenal, I think he'd struggle to get playing time because we have such incredible players. But if we didn't have a Saka or an Emile Smith Rowe, I could see Pulisic fitting right in. You know,
I agree. I think the it seems like I remember Grant Wall wrote a book called Masters of Modern Soccer, and he had a long interview with Christian Pulisic. And Christian Pulisic talked a lot about those specifics of how much he works on 1v1 and how it's like such a – arguably, I've never really heard an American player speak this confidently about taking on a European defender at any time. So – I would argue that is really what he needs to be out wide, and he needs to be, I would like Christian Pulisic to have more assists than goals per season, especially on this Chelsea team. For the men's national team, I would say he should have more goals than assists, but for Chelsea, given the quality of the squad, he drew a penalty. I believe
in the last match.
This is what he should be doing. A false nine is 100% just not what he should be doing. It is
no, like, but they also started Timo Werner for a year. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they've made mistakes up top. You know, Chelsea shouldn't be trusted with their decisions up top.
It's
I think when you look at Chelsea, I don't know that putting Pulisic in at your false nine is a yo, we ain't got nobody else right now. You know what I mean? That can play this position. I look at that as a stopgap kind of a pick. I worry about his opportunities there long term, but they're in so many different competitions. Plus, with Omicron out here, he's going to get chances to play. You know, if you're looking at the NBA, they're signing 40-year-old former players right now to 10-day contracts. I think the same thing is going to happen in Premier League. I think you're going to find like. Some of the guys on the bench are getting a lot of burn, my guy. You might want to stretch. Look, you ain't just picking up a check.
This was the lineup against Wolves, and you see him right up front. I mean, like, there's no way that you're like, this is what the lineup should be. This is where he should go. Get tactically you want to mix things up depending on the opponent or whatever, but I don't see how this ever could. I don't think it should be tried again. Put him out on the right side. I would argue he is a better wide player than Hakim Ziyech is, and I would want him over. I would pick him over Hakim Ziyech. But that's just my opinion. But not great for defenders in the.
How about this?
MLS.
Put on. You look in your crystal ball, Christian, and tell us right now, 2022 is Pulisic starting next season. A member of Chelsea.
You know what? I'm gonna say no. I'm
same. No. I feel like he's gonna move in the summer.
I feel like I think he deserves a bigger opportunity and more playing time, and especially with how much they spent. If they do sell him, do you think Chelsea takes a loss on how much they spent? You think so?
Yeah, I think there's no way to recoup that money fully. And also, Chelsea doesn't care. You know what I mean? Chelsea might loan him out. Chelsea might loan him out before they sell him if it's like a massive loss. But I could see him going for 30 to 40 million as opposed to the 60 to 70, which I keep forgetting what they paid for him. But people in the MLS, I said four defenders in the midfield, LOL. Trevor Utley. Said Joe Johnson came back from the big three. When you buying players from the big three, you're making mistakes. Saboteo, first time chat from Saboteo, said, I've waited 10 minutes to send this message. So here we go. Did somebody say Arsenal 10 minutes ago?
Oh, that's right.
And then it's a bunch of Arsene Wengers. And
there's a 10-minute.
I believe that's Thierry Henry.
There's a. That is Wenger and Thierry Henry. It is.
It looks like Wenger and. Who's Vince Carter is what it looks like on my screen.
There's a 10-minute
delay after you follow before you're allowed to.
Right. Or before, once you get into the chat, you have to, if it's your first time, you have to, it's to stop.
We did that because we were getting bots.
That's right. Okay. But Saboteo is no bot. He is just a gooner. Okay.
Nah, let's go. We need more gooners up in this chat. Dawnstar says, I see Ziyech leaving before Pulisic. I can see a complete sort of rehash of the wings over at Chelsea, but Bay Area Gunas said, is Lukaku turning into a waste of money?
I would look in the game against
turning Chelsea, into.
You saw the dude that he completely mushed over, just completely mushed and got him out of the way. That is why you want Lukaku on your team. I mean,
he is legitimately a linebacker that plays soccer. But I will say, dude, he's just getting back. He's not fully fit, right? He had the, they don't say he had lung problems, but he was having some respiration issues with COVID, if I'm not mistaken, right? He had COVID, right?
I don't know if he did.
What was his issue? But anyway, he's coming back into form.
Yeah.
So give him a chance. I think Lukaku is a great player, but I don't think there's nothing that's going to get you to say he was worth 100 million. Other than being the Golden Boot winner, you're paying $100 million for a guy.
Yeah, this is. But my issue with look, nobody loves Lukaku more than I do, and so I'm gonna. You know, he was at Everton. I'm always gonna defend him, but it's like it doesn't matter what Lukaku does. He clearly has so much to offer. And look, if you base it solely on transfer fees, what he did at Inter, which is he's carried them to the Scudetto, that's how much it costs to bring him back. They had to get rid of him. This is how much it costs to bring him back. Waste of money. I mean, look, just like you mentioned about Chelsea, what is a waste? How much is enough money for it to be a waste of money? So it's not about the money.
For Chelsea?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, the $100 million is a joke. The only thing it does is affect their ability to sign other players because of financial fair play. And I know everyone, including Abramovich, just laughed when I said the financial fair play. Or whatever the new phrase for the law is.
The margins of error are so small. Between Chelsea and Manchester City, right? Because Chelsea were the favorites to win the league after winning Champions League and so on and so forth. But the margins of error are so small that you need to have such a wildly consistent year. And if you want consistency, playing under Pep Guardiola and playing for Manchester City with those players, with those philosophies, with whatever, that is where you're going to get that consistency. You can bring in great players over and over and over. It'll be a revolving door of absolute world-class athletes, and it's difficult to win the league. It's just the competition. You just can't make any mistakes. And dropping points, Chelsea dropping points against Everton, against Wolves, that's it. If they can't find a couple goals, that's going to be the issue. So it being a waste of money, I think, is not a fair question, because it's not – the proof that you didn't waste your money is what is that? That you're in first place? Because Chelsea, they were in first place for a little bit. Is it a FA Cup? Is it winning the league? Like, I look, realistically, if you get in Champions League, it's not a waste of money. That's my opinion.
The chat is really having a pretty great conversation. Nothing about what we're talking about. They're on their own thing here. Trevor Ellie said everyone of the top five teams in Germany outside of Bayern would take Pulisic in a heartbeat. But do you go back? Do you go back to Bundesliga? No. You've got to make it happen in Premier League. So somebody mentioned maybe Newcastle. Saboteo said Newcastle won't be able to attract Pulisic because of risk of championship. He would be playing. They would be paying extortionate wages, and just can't. And he just ain't gonna move to Newcastle. He predicts players like Ramsey or maybe Tarkowski going there. MLS Island said Pulisic could do Salah or KDB, leave Chelsea, join a team, and then become world class. I could see, you guys are talking? Oh, sorry. I can see already. I like Sabotel a lot. What a good 10 minutes. He figured out the vibe and he came in heavy. I could see Pulisic going to a team that's not necessarily. I honestly could see him. Could he replace Sadio Mane at Liverpool? They're talking about it. He wants to move.
Well, look, Jurgen Klopp obviously loves Christian Pulisic. He
man, what I'm talking about.
So that is him going to Liverpool is a very strong possibility, because not only does he like Liverpool, isn't he like a child Liverpool fan? I'm almost sure.
No. Wasn't he a Chelsea fan?
No.
Or maybe a Manchester United?
I'm almost sure it was Liverpool. And so I think he would like to play there, and Jurgen Klopp is there.
Liverpool.
Yeah.
He grew up a Liverpool supporter.
So it is.
Mm. You think he's bombing on purpose?
Sure. Yeah. Just really self-sabotage. You know how the English media will be really supportive of that. Yeah.
And how other people will say, well, that's good because then he showed loyalty and wishing and having fear signing him. No, don't start. I just looked it up. He was a Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
He went to a Manchester United match when his mom or dad got a job in Europe. And that's what made him fall in love with the game. But he became a Liverpool supporter. Saboteo said Spurs are in dire need of another attacker since Eric Dier. Since Harry Kane finishes his 25-year contract.
it's one of the few, like, what is it, Michael Jordan lifetime deals with Nike? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, the poor man. He seems to be playing okay, although not being able to score. going against 10 men, South Hampton players for 70 minutes is a massive fail. But the question as to whether Lukaku is a flop or not, I said it from the beginning. Look, he bossed it in Italy, and I don't think it's an easier league, but I think his style of play fits in a little bit better. He was also playing in an incredible team, and he had an incredible year moving to the Premier League. If he got paid a ton of money on weekly wages, I'd understand it. So I don't know what the comparison is to what he was making wage-wise before. But I just said, man, this is such a dumb move for him. Dude, you already proved you don't need that league. Why would you go back and just deal with the constant pressure cooker that is the Premier League? He went back, and every time he doesn't score or misses a shot wide, you're going to hear boos and jeering. And, you know, you can hear the ticky-tacky of everybody starting their blog posts and articles. You know, is he a flop? And it kind of sucks. It just kind of sucks that, you know, a guy like him who very clearly is worth that money has to prove it every single match, day in and day out. That said, you're never going to look. Is Grealish a $100 million player? We would all sit here and say he's not having a $100 million year. You know what I mean? Is Lukaku having a $100 million year? Probably not. But are you constantly have to prove you're that player over and over again?
Who's having a $100 million year? Let's list them. Mohamed Salah.
Mohamed Salah is at 15 goals leading the league right now. And he's not going to get, and he will not get more than $200,000 a week from Liverpool. That's just their process.
Right.
They won't do it. Who else is honestly, and I'm going to say it, and it's going to make me sound like the ultimate Arsenal fan right now, but Emile Smith Rowe.
Emile Smith Rowe
is having, he's fourth right now in goals scored.
Okay.
$100 million a year.
Yogo Jota, I would put that.
Yogo Jota, yeah. What is he? I think he's tied for fourth in goals this year.
Simply because he's a defender, it just doesn't, especially a fullback. It feels wrong to pay that much. It feels like you're ripping somebody off if you're trying to sell him.
Conte can't even start.
Nick Lay is saying, "Oh, for God's sakes, Alexis, we're talking to talking about Emile Smith Rowe."
I'm sorry, did I make your eyes roll into the background?
Don Star saying N'Golo Kante. Manager Sandu saying Bernardo Silva.
N'Golo Kante can't start every match. This season he's having a little bit of an off year for me.
$100 million
players. There's probably four to five.
Taco Time saying Cancelo for sure. Okay.
Joao Cancelo, I can completely see.
Ramsdale.
Is there anyone? You know what? I'm not going to say it because I don't want Nick Lee to get upset with me. But Aaron Ramsdale is having a you're now the new number one for your country after everyone told you signing you for $30 million was a mistake season.
We're talking about Premier League.
Erling Haaland, of course, he's having a $100 million season. And the shock is he's not going to go for $100 million.
Yeah, and he's also not playing Champions League, not playing in World Cup. The guy's having the – he needs to not only change teams, he needs to change countries. He needs to be from somewhere else because I feel so bad for him. Okay.
Son? he said that is negative $100 million. Wait, Nick Lichman said Dele Alli? Come on, son.
I assume that's a joke. That's a joke. Okay.
Yeah.
So the MLS Island said born in England. Nick Holland. I'm thinking of Nick Haglund.
Erling Haaland could play for England if he chose to.
Really?
Yeah, his dad played for City.
And he was an English, he was a British citizen?
He was born in Manchester.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah, his dad played for City. And I think someone at United broke his leg or ruined his career.
And that's one of the reasons why he says he'll never play for United.
Or there was rumors that he refuses to play for United because of that. I might have it backwards. He might have played for United, and I think he played for City.
He played for City. I know that because I remember when there were all the talks about him going there. Okay. So, while we're talking about United,
I don't know if you saw the last match. I didn't see the match.
Okay.
All right. If you were watching the match throughout the entire match, they didn't play well. The fact that they walked out of the draw is massive. They did not play well.
Hold on.
But throughout the match, was it Roy Keane
that broke Erling Haaland's father's leg? That
yeah,
that
it was. I knew somebody would.
Manjusandu, but MLS Ireland say Roy didn't. So who was it? Who was it?
Yeah, there it is. Roy Keane. The first thing that pops up if you Google or Bing, I'm sorry, if you Bing Roy Keane Holland is a video that says Roy Keane ends Holland's career in Manchester Derby.
Okay, all right. Let me just pull this up because now there is a backstory. You know what I mean?
So yeah. Now it's all of a sudden a Real Housewives of...
No. This is it. This is the Erling Haaland origin story of how he became Batman. You know what I mean? Like,
this is where his evil comes from. This is why he hates the goals. So much.
This was Alf Inge Haaland. This is hilarious.
MLS Ireland says he didn't. He played after that. Also, he stopped because of his other leg.
Okay, I gotta be.
You're gonna get a ding by showing this, aren't you?
No, I'm not showing the video.
Oh, okay,
this is just an ad that's popping up. I mean, this is just the photos. But it was, yeah.
Roy Keane. The photo for those of you listening. Is Roy Keane standing over an injured player yelling at him as he has a shattered kneecap?
Yeah, it is the walk it off, treatment that he's offering. So, well, you know what? Then I understand, you know, that there's clearly some history. I'm sure, you know, Alpha Inga is in his son's ear like, yo, if you ever see anybody wearing a Manchester United shirt, you know what to do, okay?
Mm-hmm. Break his knee. Damn.
You love your father, so if you don't didn't you? Watch, you know?
Do it for your dad. Every Haaland, my granddad spits on Manchester United.
Okay, and if you see Roy during a pregame for Sky Sports, you need to go into the room and make sure you attack his knee. Do like a
run into the gantry and double foot, two foot. I mean.
Roy Keane is a top dude, a hell of a player. We know that. Absolute legend.
Well. We know he's a great player. But top dude? I don't know him personally.
I mean, you can't be a great player without people hating you, right?
That's yeah, some people got to hate you. Yeah. But speaking of United, you didn't watch the match. But every time a Manchester United player made a mistake, and it happened often, it happened a lot, the camera would swing to either Bruno Fernandes or Cristiano Ronaldo, and it would be them visibly yelling at people, telling them what they've done wrong, or throwing their hands up in disgust, slapping their thighs, rolling their eyes. You know, it felt horrific. It felt horrific to watch. And Gary Neville said, this isn't helping. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he goes, this isn't helping the young players who are watching you complaining about the people on the pitch not being as high quality as you are.
Okay.
So Nick Lishman said the camera didn't swing to Chris Armas. Which we will talk about. It was dope to see him sitting next to.
Yeah.
Literally next to Ralph Rangnick, who I named Ole Gunnar Rangnick and got a lot of people upset. good tweet of mine. So the conversation began. I said, I know some of y'all really love Ronaldo, but I got to be honest. It looks horrific to have to play with him. Take away all of the, you know, the stuff in his private life. Just as a player, if you play for Manchester United, you probably thought to yourself, you know what? He's a Manchester United legend. A lot of people consider him the greatest of all time. He comes on. This is going to be fun. It's going to be fun to play with a guy like this. I'm going to learn a lot. So on and so forth. If you were in that position, watching someone do exactly what he did, how would you feel? Would it annoy you, or would you be like, I mean, what are you going to do with Ronaldo?
Well, when we went to the Arsenal Manchester United match at Old Trafford a couple weeks ago, that the one thing we had mentioned when we were talking about kind of our experiences at these matches is that you don't get to see on television is everyone's kind of like body language and the their overall kind of morale. Right. As the game is going on. And look, I think everybody knows this. Ronaldo is a very, boisterous, very wears his emotions hard on the sleeve and the whole thing. And look, I mean, the guy played there already. They knew what they were getting. But with the frustrations come, you know, three or four bicycle kicks a season that are going to light up the internet. So, I don't feel bad for Manchester United. Look, every time he scores and all these grown men are yelling over and over, they want the show. They want the show. That's why they brought him in there.
You're 100% right. They're here for the soap opera.
The drama, they love it all. As much as they want to win.
It's literally, you and I were in the home section for Manchester United versus Arsenal. So we had to, really me, had to be quiet. It couldn't really act like we were disgusted with it on the way out because we're kind of trapped amongst all these people. Yeah. And then one guy would go, "Sue," and everyone would be like, Sue,
never end.
And I just looked at you and I was like, this is embarrassing. Like, there's a bunch of grown men. By the way, we got another first time chat from a viewer, Ranch My Pizza, which I have a feeling.
We might have to.
I have a feeling someone we know and is just trying to troll me and it is working. Or. It's Weston McKennie, the guy who's kid I'm wearing right now. He said, haha, or he or she said, haha, imagine the tantrums he's going to have playing for Inter Miami. And I think Dawnstar also said Ronaldo needs to go to MLS. Can he now come into the U.S.? Is that settled?
I don't know. I don't think he will, but I don't think, I don't know what the, how, you know, if it's settled or whatever. I honestly don't know the details, but it's possible. It's possible.
He's looking at that Insigne money and thinking, dang.
I mean, everybody, look, he's not going to have the warmest welcome for a lot of people if he is.
He will be reminded of his transgressions for sure.
I mean, he gets reminded at certain games. I don't know if you've seen videos of certain chants and stuff like that.
People do remind. Oh, the Arsenal fans have a chant specifically for that. And they're not alone. Manchester Sanders said, we need a Sue air horn. No, we do not. That would cost half a million of gully bucks to get someone to have a Sue on here. I can't even hear the air horns anyway. So
I was trying.
I don't care.
I was trying to find I can't find this post, but I saw it earlier today and somebody had the lineup of the Manchester United, who they play. It was 1-1.
God, why am I drawing a blank now?
Anyway, but
come on.
They had the lineup.
It's going to pop up in the chat by the time I find it.
they had the lineup, Newcastle. There it is. Thank you, Manchester.
Newcastle. That's right.
So they,
I told you, Manchester.
They basically,
who also Manchester Andrew also said, that he likes Ronaldo. He thinks he's a goal, but he thinks Cavani fits the system better. Ooh.
Okay, yeah. Well, he got a goal in that game. But I can't find the original image because I wanted to show this. I forgot who posted it. But they basically had this, the lineup for Manchester United right here that you're seeing on the screen. And they drew two dicks around it. Basically, like, created balls and a dick.
Oh, because they play a 4-2-2-2. Yeah.
It just made me laugh so much. It's just such a stupid.
It's a Christmas tree versus two dicks.
So funny. Then this is, you know, Rangnick Ball. Let's go.
Yeah. Let's Ralph Ball.
Well, the initial thought was that when they, obviously, new manager, right? It was Ollie's fault. He was the problem, as many fans said. The team is too big for him, and he can't handle you know, all this stuff. We love him. He's always going to be part of the history. Blah blah blah. New manager coming through. Had they? You know, when we were there, it was Carrick, right? Carrick was
we were there for Carrick versus he managed again
second match that he
had. It was his second. I think it was his last.
Okay, so I think we're clearly seeing that the manager was not the issue, and I don't know if, you know, let's ask the same question that we asked about Lukaku. Was Ronaldo a waste of money, right? Is because he doesn't really seem to be bringing, yes, he has He has
Trevor Oakley, but the vaunted double dick footage.
You can't. Really, it's awful.
When is someone going to have a balls to do the titty formation? When?
You know what? We need a courageous manager like Alexis Guerrero to really change this game, revitalize it.
Yeah, and Ranch My Pizza said, made this account especially for Alexis. P.S. I'm from Texas.
Magic Sandu said, I'm not a fan of Ralph, to be honest. The blame lies with the Glazers. Okay.
Oh, everybody wants to just blame the Glazers. What have the Glazers done? They spent a ton of money. They brought you Sancho, which is what you wanted. Mm-hmm. They gave you Ronaldo when he was on his way to City. Huh? They gave you a new manager. And a guy that everybody was acting like this was the greatest. Remember, if it wasn't for him, y'all wanted Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah.
And how's that been going? So look.
They're doing everything that the fan base is asking. And I think I had seen a tweet from Nigerian Scams, right, who is a big Manchester United fan. And he had tweeted recently saying, nothing will ever make Manchester United fans happy. And that is,
of course not.
100% what it feels like. Look, the main, you know, whatever the problem is, whether it's like institutional or with particular players or with a manager or with a coach or whatever, owner, whatever, there seems to be there are clubs that are run well from top to bottom. You know, it feels like Manchester City from the owners to the academies to the social media, like it just seems like they have their like finger on the pulse of like what needs to be going on. Like and you have to credit Pep for just having this like level of either vision or philosophy or just something. It seems to make everybody more comfortable when they do their job. They just have so much faith in him. And there's just not many clubs like that are from like an institutional level that are just everybody's kind of like on the same page and doing what they need to be doing. And Manchester United is just not that. After Alex Ferguson,
Manchester United will never be that because the pressure is to, there's always one set of fans that if you're not top of the league, there's always a set of fans that can tell you they're better than you. And that just triggers Manchester United fans.
Yeah. The, I know. I think I've been reading too many, like after reading Wenger's book and reading just all this stuff about soccer, there's just so much the business around it. Right. And I think even after going to, being in London and being in Liverpool and just seeing, not even forget the games on their own, like just like every club has like kind of their own like identity and their own way sort of just doing things. And you could understand, like, when we went to the Etihad campus, didn't you just go in there and you're like, yo, like, things are looking all right over here, right? They just feels like...
Yeah.
Like
what startup did we walk into?
It feels like things are on the up and up. Business is booming. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, but even when we were at, like, around Everton... There's just like there's a different identity to it. Like even the fan base is like they're not as like angry, I would say, as like United fans or Arsenal fans, right? It's just like because the expectation is not as high, but there's clearly
and
like,
there's not as many of them.
Well, but there's so much like love around the club, right? Like you hear this all the time from former Everton players. I saw a tweet that came up in my feed, and I forgot which player it was who tweeted it, but a former Everton player was like, I played at Everton for like 2 years and they were probably the two worst years of my career, but Everton fans gave me this loyalty and love that I didn't even deserve. And he feels uncomfortable, but that is how people are. And maybe Everton...
But that's also like the, you know, and no offense, but that's also like the love of a smaller club. You know what I mean?
Sure.
A bigger club ain't got time for these emotions. You know what I mean?
Feelings.
We out here trying to win trophies. You feel? What am I gonna give you a feel good story?
But that's
baby. I'm Gordon Gekko out here.
But that's an interesting aspect because I think Manchester United and Sir Alex Ferguson allowed it to almost still feel like this smaller community, even though it was not. And Manchester United, one of the biggest brands in the world.
I also think that's a former era. Like, I think Arsenal did the same thing with Wenger, but that's
a bygone era. Although I've been very, very, very open about saying that I think Arteta is that guy. He's going to be there for a very long time. Seb Mateo said, Everton, where Arsenal rejects go to die. All right, they don't go to die, but their careers are
really good. Do not slander Alex, it won't be that way.
Damn. Yeah, that dude's still got a beating heart. Which we call it. Seb Mateo also lives in Manchester, by the way. And I've upset a lot of Manchester fans. But which we call it. First of all, American Empire said that if you play the 4-2-2-2 in MLS, are you required to have one DP? Two dicks, DP.
Good
buddy.
Question.
Big mom.
This is kind of this is the kind of provoking thought I'd like to see in the Twitch chat. Okay.
In fact,
Bing Bong.
I have to update those. those
thank you, Perfect Tommy, with the Bing Bong. All right, much appreciated.
There you go. Nick Leigh said, Alexis fighting on behalf of the Glazers is now going to look out the window for flying cats. I'm not fighting on behalf of the Glazers. It's just that, like, every Manchester United fan said it's Ole's fault. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the fault. As soon as you bring in the manager y'all wanted and it's not working out, you're like, well, then it must have been Glazers' fault. Maybe we just weren't looking deep enough.
Yeah, just passing the buck. I don't know. I mean, look, we can blame the Glazers. It'd be, you know, I would argue, look, if we're talking about just the players themselves, it seems like Luke Shaw and Aaron Wan-Bissaka are probably not the long term. It's not the future. It seems like Alex Telles and who's the other dude? I forgot.
Delow
seems like a better choice. There seems to be a this is a kind of
RIP to your club if Delow is your top choice.
But it seems to be even like look, you know, we talk about Arsenal and all these young players that are getting their opportunity and really like and doing right by that opportunity. They're really playing with a lot of confidence. And as soon as Aubameyang leaves, because for whatever reason, maybe his head is not in the right place. He's affecting the morale of the squad. And that I think there has to be
to your point about Everton and to your point about Aubameyang, you need a unified dressing room, changing room, locker room, whatever the hell you guys want to call it this week. You need a unified group. To what we were saying about Ronaldo, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that with Ronaldo in there.
Right.
And I don't know if you remember the video of when he was at Juventus, when he went into the dressing room, he's like, you know, we got to play like shit. He's like, we're playing like shit, and that's not good enough. And then he looks up and realizes cameras are on, and he's like, I also playing like shit. Yeah, thank you, Pink Floyd 95. I think, has it already been a year?
That subscribe. Oh, wow, thank you for subscribing for 1 year, Pink Floyd 95. Much appreciated. Yes, thank you for that.
Barry Gunnar said it all, but it was nice having you, but it's time to go now. You've overstayed your welcome. Also, I'm very open about, I'll forgive, you know, players being lazy, showing up late, doing whatever. If you out here changing the luck of the club, changing our position on the table, if you're out here, you know, get your 3 points, I don't even care if you show up to training. I really don't care. If you show up on the day of the match and you're the best player on that pitch, what am I going to do? What are you going to do with training?
Right.
What, are you not going to get even better at training? You're already the best player on the pitch. But if the moment that's done, you need to change your ways. And Aubameyang hasn't done that.
Yeah.
So, yo, you can't be showing up late. You can't be doing these things. And having a player like him not be a vocal leader when you're being asked to be and not showing a good example, you need to go. At some point, Manchester United is going to have to look at Ronaldo. And look, they didn't want to hear it when people said that Ronaldo makes Bruno Fernandes worse. Because Bruno Fernandes is going to defer to Ronaldo every time he gets that ball up there. And look, it's happening now. Nobody wanted to hear it. You've got their own fans like Manjus Sandhu, who always stays in our chat. Shouts to Manjus Sandhu, saying, you know, he thinks Cavani is a better position. This is a club legend, Ronaldo. And now you think Edinson Cavani, who has no connection to your club outside of the fact that he signed there when he left PSG, that all of a sudden he's a better fit for your quote unquote system. And that, look, a player like Ronaldo coming in was going to become the focal point, and maybe that's not necessarily the best position for him, especially not at this point in his career. And Manchester United just said, wait, hold on, who was it? Alexa's voice just went up a level without helium.
He gets passionate about the game.
Maybe it's on the cold brew I'm on. You know?
Saboteo said, referring to a part of, it said Pink Floyd 95 said, part of me hopes that Alba gets a second chance with Arsenal. And then Saboteo responds saying, if he starts banging in goals, he will, but I don't think he's fit for being a captain. He's too lackadaisical. Yes, he is. We talked about this before, just about, like, when you think of leaders, Aubameyang is not one of them. But it's just like this, we've met so many players and been around so many teams, and like it is just so clear that, you know, just like in war, like you need to have a hierarchy. There needs to be some level of leadership. There needs to be somebody like that the soldiers can trust, that they'll lead them in the right direction. And a lot of clubs just don't have that. And I think,
dude, if your general's showing up late, you know, with a drink, like, yo, my bad.
Hey, what are these? Oops. Get all these ships, all these warships. What are you playing? Risky. Get it out of my
Get it all out of here. If your general shows up and ain't prepared, bruh.
That's what it is, man.
If your general spent more time painting in his hairline than preparing for the war you're in, you're probably not going to win that war. And it's also not going to inspire your players.
Bay Raguna just said, it's not personal. We just can't finish behind Spurs again. Yeah, it was very, very...
100% Bay Raguna. St. Totteringham's Day, right? I almost forgot what it was called. That's how long it's been since we...
We're talking about Manchester United. Let's talk about Anthony Martial, because he wants to go. He has made it very clear. He says, I believe, quote, like, it is the right time to leave. You hadn't made a note here. What is it? Oh, that United rejected an offer from
Sevilla, who he's agreed with personal terms with. But they rejected it because they only offered to pay half of his wages.
This is a loan. He's like, Manchester United are like, I want to pay this fool. And they're like, no, but we don't want to pay him entirely.
Yeah. Y'all made that deal, not us. We can afford half of what y'all promised to pay him. But Manchester United said no. They've rejected the offer because they want 100% of the wages paid. And they also want a loan fee, which is not new. But it's become sort of this new way that, top clubs can... Because it seems like over the last 2 years, it switched from massive fees to players sort of being able to leave on free. And if they leave on a free, that means that they can negotiate their own sort of transfer wage, you know? Like Messi went... Technically, as far as a real transfer is concerned, he went on a free to PSG. But PSG had to pay a fee to the player and the agent. You know what I mean? They were able to negotiate on their side, and they said, well, if you were going to pay whatever it was, $300 million for me to Barcelona, because I came on a free, you're saving $300 million. So I want $150 million that I can split with my agent, which is insane, but that's kind of what's happening. So all these players leaving on a free is like a big new thing, because now they get to negotiate these wages that kind of don't end up in the paper. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is cool, you know, especially if you're that, if you're Mino Raiola, it's less money that you have to tell... You have taxes on the FL governments across the world. But also now loan fees are like the new way that a lot of these clubs are making like even more money. It's like, all right, we'll give you one of our best players who we can't play on a loan, but I want $8 million. I want $10 million loan fee. Most loan fees are like a couple of mil. They're not like that high, but they're able to sort of to get, a couple extra million in each year in loan fees. I don't know that you're going to get one for Martial. I think he's good enough. I think he's good enough to go to Sevilla and boss it, but you ain't seen him that much.
Yeah, I don't want to say downfall, but I remember vividly, what was it? He got there in 2016, something like that?
Yeah, he was what, 30, 36 million at the time? Was like, crazy.
We all do this as fans of the game. Where we are.
Wait, was he signed by Sir Alex Ferguson?
No. He was Mourinho. Was he Moyes? Mourinho? Who was there? I forgot who was the manager. But we all do this as fans. We are just we are drunk for transfers. We believe that It doesn't matter what team you support, but you just believe as soon as the
I
player
want to be drunk for transfer.
But if you are, if you, we all believe that as soon as we Louis Van Gaal was a thank you, Manji Sandu.
Was it Louis Van Gaal? All right.
So, but we all,
which is kind of a long time to be there.
But we all believe that that just want, we just need that one transfer, that one guy that's just gonna fix everything about this club. Remember when Martial scored the first goal, his first goal? I think he scored his first goal in his first day in his debut, and everybody was just like, "This Frenchman is gonna change this damn league. Look at this."
The new Thierry Henry, I had to hear over and over and over again.
He, it was just people blinded by just their naivety. You know what I mean? And he just turned out to be an all right guy. He just turned out to be another all right player.
All right player.
He's just a good dude.
He's just a good guy. I want to see him succeed. Yeah. You know, he's not a. You know, he didn't play in the. Was he in the World Cup squad? In 2018, I don't think he was.
I don't know.
He's not regularly playing for France. He's an all right player. And I don't know. Is that, I would argue Manchester United made him worse. Don't know why.
Yeah.
Whether it's poor managing, whether it's the
certainly after the first two or three seasons, it's been downhill from there. In fact, I'm looking at transfer market right now just to see what his market value is. He's listed. I mean, it is a pretty steep drop since 2020, which seems like too late. There was an early drop in 2019.
Said, damn, Christian, might as well call him Dusty.
I know, right?
He has not reached Dusty levels, okay?
Yo, my guy, wash. Just say that. But he's a good dude.
He's a good guy.
Barry Aguna said Martial is a victim of Mourinho. Dude, Mourinho, he leaves his fingerprints. His dirty ass fingerprints on the team.
Mourinho at the highest, dusty ass fingerprints. Doing
at the highest point, you know what? He's actually saved by where the market has gone. At the highest point, he was valued at 71.5 million American.
Yeah.
All right. So whatever that is in pounds, maybe 4 or 5 pounds. Who knows? Right now, he's listed at about 35 million. And wasn't his original transfer about 36 million, if I'm not mistaken?
Something around there. Taco Time said Mourinho froze him out, so he missed the World Cup squad, and then he got hurt. Nick Lay said Mourinho, the serial killer of managers. Yeah,
damn.
You know, so you
see, Mourinho does something genius. Right now, everybody blames Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and now everyone's starting to blame the Glazers. Mourinho, he shows up to a team, he tells you who to blame immediately. He picks a player out. And he goes, he's like, that guy.
This is the reason you've been losing for a decade, okay?
you thought he was a good player? Nah, I walk in within 5 minutes, I know he trash.
I mean,
he did that to Dele Alli.
He's doing it at Roma right now, where even, who is it? Brian Reynolds, who is not the highest, you know, not to the degree of like Martial and all the other guys, but Brian Reynolds, an American excited to go to Serie A, was a huge opportunity. And the
psych kid
came, like Mourinho's like, nope, let's 86 that. You ain't getting on.
Oh, you were excited. Watch me destroy this young man in one press conference. Yo.
Barry Guna said Mourinho is football Hitler, apparently. Well, that's now you're going way too far. Well, we're trying to find words to describe this man.
Jesus. The one name.
You're going too
Alacron
far.
Said United were already trashed before Mourinho. True, but Mourinho came in and told everyone, yo, here's who you point your sights at, my guy right here. He's trash.
I want to make sure I get this in recorded history, because your homie Flex, I saw a tweet recently, and I don't even know, is he a comedian now? Because the man got jokes, because
he's been hanging out with me too long.
I'll pull up the tweet, but he said that Manchester United need a strong midfielder like Joe Linton from Newcastle.
And he's two words. a guy named Joe, last name Linton. And he put, like, yo, he put, honestly, had no idea that was one name this whole time.
Bruh, the guy has one, like, he's played, I think, for the first time, Saboteo, thank you for this up.
Saboteo, thank you, man.
I think he played in the midfield just, like, yesterday for the first time and for Newcastle. And he was actually really, really good, right? He was really, really impressive.
This is a striker.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe he wasn't supposed to be a striker. That seems to be the case. That maybe he was playing the wrong position because the Duke couldn't score ever, whether he had a great opportunity or not.
Said, we need Toby Lerone.
Absolute legend.
Damn. He's so good in the triangle. Yeah.
So, but this is obviously hilarious. And the main issue, look, Manchester United, whether the issue is 15 years old or if it's just a couple weeks old or whatever, but they're getting dominated and they don't have the dominant midfielders that they had, you know, in years past. And Roy Keane and the Scholes and like just guys that
ain't got that no more.
Yeah. It's just, look, it is McTominay. It is Fred. And not to say that
it is sad.
Not to say that they're terrible. They're not terrible players.
No, Fred's been playing okay. I know people are saying like he's the greatest of all time, but he didn't look great this last match, even though I think he had like a lot of positive passes. He didn't look terrible.
They need to control games. Manchester United used to do that, and they do not do that. In the last like decade.
But that's also Ralph Ball. You're supposed to press like crazy the moment you lose the ball, but you're supposed to keep possession. And it's like a blend of like a tiki-taka and a more aggressive, more direct style.
Yeah. I was gonna say, how excited are Manchester United fans to play in the Red Bull system? This seems a little. I think it's gonna be so weird to me.
It's gonna that be Manchester United are gonna be given a Red Bull style. It's so odd to me.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
This might be a bit of a curse. I don't know if this is what they really, really want.
Well, somebody put it before. They're like, how lucky is he that he relegated Cardiff, but now just got the greatest job in football, which is crazy. Barry Gunnis said Joe Linton looking like Hulk in the midfield. Trevor Ellis said sounds like a good Welsh bloke. This Joe Linton. Major Sanders said prediction. Spoiler, we ain't winning on Thursday. Barry Gunnis said Calvin Phillip might be available for Manchester United this summer. A lot of rumors of Calvin Phillip coming to Arsenal. So it looks like Calvin Phillip is ready to move. Calvin Phillips is ready to move. Sabatier said they'd be better if they played in the G Fuel system. Yeah, dude. If they just need to get more amped. You know,
I'm more of a fan of the Monster Energy system.
Yeah, yeah. What was that? There's like a weird one called Bang. You ever have that?
Oh, I don't know. I never heard. It sounds like the one from remember Tropic Thunder, the Booty Sweat. Remember Booty Sweat?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was in college. I wrote up a pitch for a product. So you know how everyone was drinking Red Bull vodkas at one point?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you get the caffeine hit, so you could stay up a little longer. Basically, you don't have to do cocaine or as much for those of you who live in Manchester.
Only a reasonable amount of cocaine. Okay?
just a hint, you know, because you got this other thing here. But I came up with this. I was like, people don't like the flavor of Red Bull. So here's my idea. A little packet of pure caffeine. I found a place in China that made caffeine powder, but it was too acidic. I got samples sent to me. They sent me a whole box of caffeine powder. And it was literally like a box. And when you open it, it was just a clear plastic bag filled with powder. I'm like, how did any of this clear customs? I have no idea. what you call it? Saboteo said, I never tried cocaine. I just like the way it smells.
Now that we know that you're from Manchester, it is you can't escape it out there.
we know you smell it often. Trevor Utley said with the double dick formation, they would be perfect for the bank system.
Trevor Utley coming through with the sounding heat.
Like a Phillies player, but god damn it, that was crazy. So anyway, I got caffeine powder. And I also got B12 powder, and I mixed it. And here's what I thought. We'll have these packets that you could ask the bar to put in whatever drink you wanted. So if you were getting like a Jack and Coke, you could say, yo, give me that. So we were trying to come up with a good name for it. I came up with this name. This is a true story. I said, a bang me. So you can tell the bartender, bang me. When you
it's just like play on words like a bon me? Like the
bang me. You get to tell the bartender to bang you. What are you talking about, bon me? We got nothing to do with no sandwiches. For the first time in my life, the ranch has nothing to do with sandwiches. I thought it'd be cool to
apologize. What was I thinking?
it was so dumb. So dumb. Also, horrific tasting. There was no way to make pure caffeine because you have to extract it from something. There's no way to make pure caffeine that isn't wildly bitter or acidic. It's just impossible.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, look, I'm sure this is not going to be the last of Alexis's, get rich quick schemes.
Oh, buddy. I submitted it to my marketing professor and she was like, you have to be kidding.
Salutio said, and that's the story of how Alexis ended up in jail.
Nick Lage put, Alexis has sort of caffeine. What could possibly go wrong? The show just went tits up. Hey, we all know the vibes. This would have resulted in many lawsuits. Hey, it said on the back of the little packet, it's up to your own discretion.
I just came to the bar to get banged. I'm not interested in lawyer.
I mean, you're yelling, bang me. I don't see what's the problem, officer. Okay. American Empire said, roll up to an Applebee's and the bartender. Don't hang me. You know what? I got to look through. I still have the pitch. Yeah. I still have the pitch folder for this.
The issue is that we have the marketing campaign before we have the product that has cleared FDA regulations. You know what I mean?
None of it. It was going to be a vitamin. Oh, I didn't tell you that. Because B12, it's a vitamin which doesn't have to go through it doesn't have to go through approval. It's considered a supplement.
Nice. Sergio,
the gang tries pure caffeine.
Bro, this is at least a good spec script. You know what I mean?
100%.
All right. I wanted to make sure we get to this as well. We have a couple of minutes left that we're going
to... at least you weren't pitching something called Peg. Then it would be a totally different story. Just roll up to an Applebee's yelling, Peg me? Hey, security, you're not kicking me out. Why are you taking me to the back?
I wanted to bring this up because Lionel Messi is in the news again. Because
this is...
I'm gonna put the photo in a moment. But in general, throughout the holidays and Christmas time, all your either friends or celebrities or athletes, whatever, everybody, they're with their families. They're doing the Christmas photos, and I just want to credit Lionel Messi here for not wearing matching pajamas with his family because.
Can we agree that that would have been an upgrade?
Sure, but at least it would have been cliche. It would have been just what everybody.
Yeah, would have been trite.
Right. And I don't necessarily hate the matching pajamas. I'm not the Grinch out here. But when everybody's doing the matching pajamas, when literally you're scrolling through Instagram. And it's every single post. I'm like, well, nobody's really even trying to be unique, right. To make Christmas their own. And
I blame the TikTok generation where everyone's doing the same thing everyone else is doing.
Well, you know? And that I could go on a whole other rant about that because it seems like the algorithms nowadays are only rewarding people who do the same thing everybody else does. That is the point of like that is how you find success on the internet. You can't
you either trend or you don't do anything.
Exactly. And it kills creativity.
Unless you're messy. like I'm not listening to any rule.
It's either
I refuse
when
to
you
follow
go
rules.
Against the grain, it is you usually have to go against the grain with an unpopular opinion. And in this case,
right.
Messi's the unpopular thing is his clothing. And we gotta talk about shorts because out here.
By the way, this photo is from this Christmas. I first saw this photo. You know who shared this? This is Lucas Capozzi Shanks. Look, he runs Tens Club. Check out Who the Fuck Are Tens Club. Absolutely incredible. Everyone, get yourself on that mailing list. It's absolutely amazing stuff. I have a bunch of great gear from them.
But he always posts photos of players in like fits from like, you know, 2004 and like weird looks that you forgot about. I thought this was one of them. I thought this was 2015.
I love the throwback Thursday. Lionel Messi's hopping on. No.
I was like, yo, this can't be now.
This is a recent photo. And Bay Laguna said,
this is a week old.
Bay Laguna said, them jorts is something else, bro.
Bro.
It's obviously.
Can we zoom in on that now?
If you're listening, there's the next photo is a zoomed in photo, but. A photo with Lionel Messi and his wife. I think her name is like Antonella, I believe, or something like that. I think that's her name. You know, in most marriages, right? Usually the wife is usually the handling the attractiveness of the couple, right? And
yeah, there's usually wife, you look to the wife to lead, yes. You know, to lead in that department,
and
probably dresses a little bit better, right?
Right.
And obviously the looker, right? And then every once in a while you'll find a guy that's like, oh, okay, no, he's just as beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But very rare, right? In my situation, you probably think so, but not everybody.
Oh, no, your situation. Right? We know so, Alexis. Everybody tells
me. Yeah.
That's hurt Alexis' self-esteem right now.
Okay? Yeah. I'm the hot one. I get it. It's like, no. It's hard to be me.
So you understand that. But usually what ends up happening is that when there is a more fashionable partner, right, usually the wife, she'll be like, honey, let me help you out with your look, with your fashion sense, all right? Because I got to go outside with you. I don't really want to be.
I can't be caught out there. Like, there's plenty of times where I like to wear some wild shit every once in a while. I'm like, yo, this is great,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'll put it on, and it'll fit, and I'll feel very confident. And then I'll turn the corner, and my wife will see it, and then I'll hear a rapid fire list of reasons I should not wear.
And so we've seen that Lionel Messi is not one of the more fashionable people, but these shorts are really you're going too far. It seems like nobody cares. It seems like nobody in Messi's life cares about his appearance and how he
show the next one.
The next
one. I want you to see how egregious. And this is what they actually
these
look
are D-squared
like.
Shorts.
Which, okay, two people are at fault here. Canadians.
Okay.
Because D-Squared is from Toronto. That's why it's got that little maple leaf there.
Right.
D-Squared is based out of Toronto. And two, hood dudes from London. Hood dudes from London wear the icon hats and has made people convinced that D-Squared is an okay company to shop from. I'm here to tell you it is not. This is a war on fashion.
That's
not a weed pocket. That's a weed pocket if you're a drug mule. Look at the size of this thing.
But they're also like shorts with a high inseam and cargo. They have a cargo pocket. So the pocket is mostly the whole pant leg. You know what I mean? It's too much pocket.
Also, the shorts are somehow both too short and too long. I don't know how. And they're very clearly jeans that have been cut, which is the weirdest jean short.
I don't know.
They're long pants that have been
because
cut.
They're stitching around. I don't think they've been cut. I think they came that
no,
way.
No. They did. Yeah. He didn't make them. What I'm saying is these weren't designed as jean shorts. These were designed as pants and then shortened. You could see by like the lines in the crotch area, if I have to say it that way. I forgot what it was. Trevor Ali said, the fucked up thing is those Home Improvement Cena shorts probably cost more than my mortgage ever going to get there.
I love Cena shorts.
Saboteo said, the funny thing about that picture is that the Christmas tree is actually only a 5-foot tree. But I want you, can you go back to the other photo? Because I want people to see this. His wife, right? And I'm not saying that your significant other should tell you. Somebody said, I don't know why, these player photos always look like they're standing in an IKEA display. Absolutely does, by the way. 100% does. I'm not saying that one significant other is the one that, but usually there's one person in the family that focuses on fashion, right?
Yeah.
It's like there's one person who'll be like the final word on, yo, that's tight or nah, don't do that, right? And if you look at his wife, she's wearing a beautiful red dress,
mm-hmm.
right? Dope looking shoes. Everything about what she's wearing says I'm having a good time in 2021. You know what I mean? Then I look over at the guy whose arm she has. She has her arms around. And he's saying, I'm taking out the garbage in 2015. Those are the two different things I'm seeing here. And it's the same photo.
And it looks like, I can't see the brand of shoe, but it looked like DC shoes. You know what I mean? Like, you know, those thick tongue skateboard shoes.
My guy's wearing Airwalks.
Like, Messi, come on, bro. You're in Paris
also,
now.
How tiny is she that she's wearing platform heels and is still shorter than them.
Yeah, she's tiny.
Hold on. I want you to, in the Slack, I put a video up. Okay. They went out partying that night.
Yeah.
It's the last thing I put up. And I want you to put this up.
Okay.
Because look, when you look good, you feel good. When you feel good, you have a good time. And one of the things that I'm seeing is he's clearly not having a good time in this fit. Yeah, let's keep the music off. This is them dancing that night. So she's taking her shoes off. And she went dancing. He went standing there kicking a ball. Why is he not looking? He has not moved his hips once.
But see, but this is the thing with, you know, we Argentinians are technically Latinos, but
there's a very large asterisk right
but
now.
They haven't,
this is a German Italian man dancing to Latin music.
They haven't fully embraced like the culture of salsa and merengue and bachata and like the thing that is really popular all over Latin America. They haven't really like embraced.
They haven't
the way
they have one. They have a couple of like reggaeton rappers, but there's a lady who's really popular out of there. I can't remember her name. She has bangs. And she's just the worst
Bang Me
reggaeton rapper.
Her name, Bang Me?
Bang Me, dude. We got to sponsor some reggaeton albums for Bang Me, dog. I need to make this product. I think it's a good product. Nick Leishman said, this is offending Alexis as the VP of his high school fashion team. Okay, VP of the modeling club. We didn't have a fashion team.
Nick Leishman said,
how do you compete?
This is how people dance at Mar-a-Lago. This is great.
Manchester Sanders said he's wearing air pockets instead of air walk.
Manchester Sanders said Messi has no rhythm like his football skills. Yep.
Yo, can I just say something? This man is clearly only built to play that sport. Like, go back to that video real quick. Okay. I want people to see this. Because if you told me that this was a cardboard cutout of Lionel Messi duct taped to a Roomba vacuum, I'd believe you. He's not really moving. It's just kind of like he's just slowly pivoting every once in a while.
Yeah, but
he has not moved his hips once.
But look at everybody else too. Look at the dude in the shorts behind him, right there. Not really, kind of just the same thing.
This is a family party.
His friend group is just simply this is not one of their skills. This is not their
or do you think they're all, first of all, his fashion is horrific as well, and it's kind of blurry. But do you think they're all dumbing down their dancing skills because nobody wants to show up Messi?
I mean,
he's probably paying all of their bills.
this is basically Lionel Messi he's like the Truman Show. Literally everybody else is an actor in his life.
100%. No one. Everyone's there for Messi. Messi's bored, two cars crash into each other to give him something to look at while he's driving to practice.
Oh my God.
Luke Sergio said, all right, Alexis, let's see your dancing moves. You know what? I would be happy to recreate this video. Get Christian in that dress and let's get out by a pool.
The wife is going to be taller than you, but we'll make it work.
No. I'll get on stilts. we looked up the shorts.
Yes, we did.
We looked up the shorts. First of all, look at the hat on the model. Go up a little bit so they can see the hat. It has a cigarette taped to it. This is the fashion they've chosen.
Wait, does it have like a cigarette clip? Or is that?
I can't tell. We're going to have to go through the website to find the hat.
How do I zoom in on this photo? Oh, man. There it is.
Don't worry about the hat.
But you can kind of, I can't tell if it's, I think it's like a cigarette clip.
I don't know if it's a clip or if they just taped it. Who knows? It looks like this guy yells, get her done in Spanish.
No, it's terrible. Let's not lose sight of that.
Also, D-Squared is currently having a sale. You can see it here. It's 60% off. This stupid pair of shorts originally retailed for $785. And at 60% off, it is still $314.
They don't even need to do a sale. I mean, who's everybody's? This is how much I would pay. This is how I look at these shorts and I say they are $785. I can see why I should have to pay that right now. I didn't realize that the pocket was camouflage as well.
The cargo the photo was such bad quality. Not only does he look like he's dressed in 2015, he used a phone from 2015 to take a picture. So it was a little bit blurry. But yeah, it's a camo. And look, you can see D-squared. You can see it says Icon.
Yeah.
These Icon hats, when I was walking through London the last time we were there, they bootleg these Icon hats. That's how popular they are. A lot of like drill rappers and stuff like that wear them. But you've enabled a horrific fashion brand.
This is the Von Dutch of 2021, bro. This is not.
This is 100%.
This is not necessary. It's not a good look. I don't know what look. When it comes to we're in New York, and the fashion sense is obviously, you know, you walk through Soho, the fashion sense here is like is unreal. So we're clearly I don't know if spoiled is the right word, but we're clearly influenced by being with the fashion capital of the damn world. But in England,
way more than whatever is happening here. Toronto don't know what they're doing.
No, this is.
I don't think Toronto has the internet yet. This is looking like this. Go in there and find the hat.
Barry Aguna just.
I want you to find the hat.
Barry Aguna just said, dress like lesbian truckers.
I mean, look, it's cut off sleeve. It's a weird.
If not, I mean, that's the look. If that's the look they're going for. What'd you say?
Go up. I want you to find the hat.
Oh,
go up and go to the website and find the hat. It's listed very prominently. Trevor Ellie said this guy looks like Granit Xhaka tried out for the Machinist too. The hat will pop up. Okay. What do you want? What do you want?
I'm telling you,
DCL, DSL, whatever.
My computer's been a lot slower since when I've been streaming.
Man, this is embarrassing.
It's rough, dude. It's generally fine, but when there's a lot of images, it's a little bit slower. All right, well we may not be able to click on the sale button
because the hat is for sale. I mean, this is just so much.
How much is the hat? Do you know? Did you already see it?
No, like well, I guess I could probably find it faster than you, but it's just no, it's too much. Meaning like the look of it, it's just the fashion itself
gaudy.
Is just
yeah, it's too much going on.
Gaudy is this is it's not because gaudy means like. You went on. Maybe it is gaudy. I was gonna say gaudy is more like you kind of went overboard, but this is just embarrassing. This is like there's labels on everything. You know what I mean?
The labels have labels. Yeah.
Headwear. Oh God, everything they put is so weird. Oh no.
What happened?
I don't know if this is it. I'm gonna put this in the Slack so you can pull it up because I want people to see it for themselves. You get it?
I should see it any second.
Okay. So I don't think the cigarette is part of it. I think that was that model's like cool.
I'm gonna make this my own.
I'm gonna show you. Oh no, the cigarette I think comes with it.
It is a cigarette. It's a leather. Oh, okay, I see it now. It is a leather clip. It's like a leather like stitching, so it has a space for you to put your cigarette in.
This is wild. But I'm gonna
$228 originally.
$300 for a hat.
I mean,
can you pull up this last link that I sent you?
Sure.
This is going to be the last one we look at. Sorry everyone.
This one.
That's how uncool. This is one of their hats they're selling.
Did we collab?
This is how uncool
did we
the
collab
brand.
With them? This hat.
Should we sue this brand?
This hat it should go for $14,000. That's why. That's my opinion. Okay.
Send that directly to us.
Okay. We are not splitting profits. It is ours.
Wow. Oh my God. That should come with health insurance. Dude, it comes with one free Newport. This stuff is just, this is horrific. And this is what people, this is why I think footballers just have the worst fashion sense. Some of the younger guys Like, if you look up footballer fits on Instagram, Manchester it's great.
Andrew just said,
but for the most part,
Manchester Andrew just said, it's the uncooligans.
My God. We're the real icons.
Yeah, dude. Okay.
Oh, I got to tell my Jeremy Lin story. Okay. So I look.
We'll end on the Jeremy Lin story. So please.
I want to tell it. I'm going to make it brief. So look, Jeremy Lin once scored 38 points against the Lakers, a very important game in Madison Square Garden. And not only was I there, but I sat courtside. So here's the story. I'm sitting in my apartment and I have shows that night. And my wife says to me, I don't have shows that night. My wife says to me, oh, good. You could come to a family party. And that is the last thing. Saboteo said he's off to bed. Thanks so much for hanging out. Thanks so much for subscribing and hanging out with us. You're the best. My wife says to me, oh, good. You can come to a family party. That's the last thing I want to do. So I said to my wife, you know what? I actually don't feel good. So maybe I shouldn't go. So she checks my temperature, right? I'm at 101 degrees. So very clearly I have a fever. And she's like, you know what? You're right. So why don't you stay home? I'll go to the party. She leaves and immediately I get a text from a guy who I performed at a bar show. And I mentioned something about being a soccer fan in the show. This guy had a very thick Spanish accent. He comes up to me and he goes, are you really a soccer fan? I said, yeah. We start talking about, you know, the sport of football in Europe. And he's talking about, you know, La Liga. I'm talking about Premier League and blah, 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 blah. He's like, hey, man, you're really cool. Listen, I work for the NBA. I handle all of their promotions in Europe. So if you ever want to go to a game in Madison Square Garden, you let me know. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be texting you a lot. I lost this guy's number. I get a text from him the moment my wife walks out of the door. Like, I hear the elevator go down and I get the boop. I look at my phone and it says, hey, courtside seats, Knicks Lakers tonight. You want to go? And I wrote back, yes. I go. I take a bunch of DayQuil. I wait like 20 minutes knowing that's how long it's going to take my wife to clear the area so she doesn't see me. And I hop on a train. I go to Madison Square Garden. We are sitting third or fourth row against Kobe,
right?
The Lakers. He goes for 38 points the whole game. It's absolutely insane. I can't believe it's me, him, and like three or four other people that I don't know. I met for the first time sitting so close. The New York Giants had just won the Super Bowl and they're sitting behind us. That's how close these seats are. I'm thinking this guy must be the most important person at the NBA. If you're sitting this close, right. The Giants are sitting behind me, right? At halftime, we get to go to the VIP food court, right? It's like the VIP like buffet area. And this is everyone. Like everyone is there. Anyone who's important. And they have a carving station where they're carving up all different things. They have sushi. And then I see someone is cutting Kobe beef. And I'm like, oh my God. So they give you these little cocktail plates. I walk over to the plate and I start piling piles of Kobe beef on my plate. Like enough for like six or seven of these plates. And I hear a voice behind me say, hey, you might want to leave some for the rest of us, right? And I turn around and my face is directly in the chest of Allen Houston, right? Like stomach, belly button of Allen Houston, one of the greatest Knicks of all time. And I look up and he goes, damn, man, you're eating all the Kobe, right? And I go, yeah. Just like Jeremy Lin is eating a Kobe on the court. And everyone starts laughing, right? But I hear a really deep voice laugh behind him. So I look over, and it's John Starks, who, if you know anything about the Knicks, when they signed Houston, he usurped John Starks. John Starks went to the bench because of him.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, Allie Houston, get out the way. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, John Starks is here. I'm being me. I'm being loud as hell. I got literally a pile, like 900 just pieces of Kobe beef on this tiny plate. And I'm like, yo, my God, get out of here. John Starks is here. I'm like, oh my God, John Starks was good. Yo, fuck Allen Houston. Right. I'm joking around. Everyone's laughing, having a good time. I'm like touching Allen Houston's tie for no reason. Right. Everyone's having a good time. I go over. My friends are like, damn, man, why are you being so loud? I'm like, yo, Allen Houston. And then John Starks. I'm eating Kobe beef. All of a sudden, second half starts. We go there. We're going nuts. It's a great time. The game ends. I go home and I think to myself, man, that was one of the greatest nights of my life. And every time the game is on TV, I can see myself, the back of my head, right, where I'm sitting. Every once in a while, I get up and do something crazy or wild. I was yelling at players for no reason. I kept saying I'm the new Spike Lee for no reason, right? So the game ends a couple of months ago, maybe a year ago at this point, maybe two. I get an alert on my phone that says, like, remember this, or maybe it was like Instagram or something. It was like, remember this moment. And it was the anniversary. So I put that story up. A friend of mine who used to work for the NBA says, hey, man, your story, I had no idea this was you. your story is very famous at the NBA offices. You almost got that guy fired. And I was like, what? I don't want to say his name, but let's say his name is Umberto, right? Because it's a very Latin name. It's a very specific Latin name. So he goes, yeah, do you know the story? And I said, no. He goes, dude, you got to reach out to him. So he gives me this guy's Instagram. I reach out to him and said, hey, man, I just posted the story and I heard that you almost got fired because of me. And he goes, oh, dude, I've been trying to find you forever. He's like, I didn't have your number. He goes, let me tell you the rest of the story. So here's the story. Apparently, there's two people at the NBA named Umberto. This guy, who handled promotions for the NBA in Europe, one of eight people who did that, and had just gotten transferred to the New York office when I met him. And again, his name isn't really Umberto. The head, like the vice president of the NBA at the time, both have the same name, first name. Mm-hmm. So this guy's first day on the job in the New York office was the day he texts me. Like the first day he's like officially in, has his office in the whole nine. And the lady who hands out tickets walks by and says, hey, you requested tickets. And he said, yeah. And he goes, what's your name? Umberto. Sees an envelope with the name Umberto and hands it to him. And he opens it. He had requested two tickets. He opens it. He sees five courtside seats. So the first thing he does is figure out like, yo, let me get a bunch of people that I know to come to the game. He wasn't supposed to sit there. Mm-hmm. The guy who was supposed to sit there was the Umberto, who's right. The head of the NBA, the vice president of the NBA, and four of Coca-Cola's top executives that were just coming to re-sign with the NBA. So that guy is so pissed off that he's in the nosebleeds. Hilarious. Right? He is furious. Him and four of the biggest Coca-Cola are sitting all the way at the top of Madison Square Garden.
Where they belong.
And, right? And he said he felt so bad. He was so embarrassed that he said to them, look, I don't know what's going on with the tickets. I'm really sorry that we're sitting all the way up here. But at halftime, I can get us in the VIP section to at least eat good food. So we don't have to eat concession stand food.
Right.
So he goes there. And remember when I said that I was being loud? Well, when that guy goes to the office the next day, the first thing he does is search out for this other Umberto. And he goes, hey, man, you stole my tickets. You could have cost us the Coca-Cola contract. The whole night is a huge ordeal. Dude, I don't think he's like, you might want to start cleaning up your office right now. We're having meetings about you, blah, 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 blah. He goes, and this is a true story. So my buddy, this guy told me, and he looks at him and said, hey, and if I find out that one of those guys that had the seats was the guy making an ass of himself to Allen Houston and John Starks and yelled, like Lynn Sanity is eating Kobe on the court. If I find out he's one of them, you're in extra trouble because that guy embarrassed me in front of the Coca-Cola people who happen to be big Kobe fans. I almost got that guy completely fired.
Okay.
I wasn't supposed to sit in those seats. I was supposed to be up in the nosebleed. Meanwhile, I'm yelling, I'm the new Spike Lee.
Nothing about this story is surprising or shocking or not at all. Everybody listening right now is like, okay, yeah, this checks out.
Yeah.
This is
the guy who invented Bang Me would be yelling, I'm the new Spike Lee.
Okay.
That is my favorite story of all time. It just got better years later.
Crimson Pizza said, and that's the story of how the NBA lost their Coca-Cola deal and to sign with Bang Me instead.
Yeah. Now, I would like everyone to know that Bang Me is a product you add to a drink. It's not something you do on its own.
Incredible.
Barry could have said Alexis rubbed Coke for a good time. That's all I heard.
Okay. Well, that is the Jeremy Lin story. A nice little holiday treat. A little New Year's. A great way to end 2020.
Great way to end 2021.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Everybody on Twitch, always appreciative and grateful. Everybody came through. It was super, super hilarious. If you want to watch along with us and you want to experience Prem Show on Twitch, make sure you follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/soccercooligans or eltwitch.com and give us a follow, okay? We're going to be doing a bunch of stuff on there, especially in 2022, so come through. A reminder, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, our show is on Fubo Sports Network. We have a really great guest lined up. for 2021. Can't say just yet because it's not 100% confirmed, but it should be.
It's a big one.
Someone you've seen playing on the U.S. Women's National Team, okay? So make sure to come.
Maybe winning a few things. You never know.
You know how it is. So come through and check that out. That will be returning on, what is that, the 6th or January 6th or 7th?
The 6th or the 7th. Whichever one that first Thursday is, we'll be back. Okay,
yes. And yes, obviously, the anniversary of January 6th, everybody remembers, you know,
that great hooligan. The most important thing that's happened that day.
So make sure to check that out. And as always, subscribe to our YouTube channel and the Cooligans podcast. And if you are listening on Spotify, you can now leave ratings on Spotify. So if you're listening to this right now on Spotify, do that. Leave a
how about this? Leave a funny rating, obviously five stars, and we'll read it on the show. How about that?
I don't think you can't review. There's no reviews where you type anything. You just leave how many stars. So we'd love to see some.
All right, well, leave five stars and we'll read it on the show.
We'll read out those stars to our listeners. Okay. So thank you everybody for tuning in. And as always, you know, 2021, a ridiculous year, challenging in more ways than others. We hope you are staying safe. We hope you do not have COVID. And if you do, you recover from it quickly and fully. And just stay safe out there because, we've heard it enough. It absolutely sucks to get that trash disease, whether you're vaccinated or not. Okay.
Absolutely.
And that's it, man. I hope everybody has had a good holiday. We have a lot of really, really fun stuff planned for 2022. And look, the more that, you know, people are vaccinated and this damn disease is over, we'll be traveling more and doing stand up and coming to your city and all that stuff. It's like it's harder to do right now, but but hopefully that we can do that stuff soon. We have a bunch of really fun videos coming out, especially the stuff we did at Everton. I'm telling you, we already saw some of the cuts of it, and I can't even stress how proud we are of it.
It's insane. Insane. I watch it. I'm like, damn, I wish I could have went on this. And I'm like, oh, shit, I did.
Oh, that's me in there. You're like, you're like Leo DiCaprio. Like, oh, my God. So
I was like, am I watching porn? Who is this sexy dude? And that Dominican guy standing next to him.
Are they going to hook up?
Wearing a red dress.
Are they going to hook up, you know?
Will they, won't they?
So we're super, super proud of it. It'll be out soon. Go to our YouTube channel and subscribe to that now because that's where it'll live. So, a lot of fun stuff planned. So, everybody, look, have a great new year. Stay as safe as possible. Keep those circles small. Have as much fun as possible. Just stay safe. Don't start 2022 with the damn COVID positive test. You don't want to see it.
That's right. And if your cousin coughs, make them go outside. They're done. They're not allowed back in. They can look through the window.
Okay. You don't even get to clear your throat, Nana. All right.
Nah,
outside.
Nah. I don't care how long you smoke cigarettes for. I can't trust nobody. You smoking Cools or Omicron? Which one are you smoking?
Hey, Nana, where'd you get that cool hat to hold your cigarette?
Oh, a trucker.
Oh, man. All right, everybody, man. We seriously appreciate everybody out here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, everybody on Twitch, for making this experience even more fun than it normally is. Have a good new year. Have a dope 2022. We hope you had a great holiday. And, stay safe. And that's pretty much all we got to say. So we'll see you in 2022 with, more Prem Show, more podcasts, more episodes of the TV show. So we got a lot of fun stuff planned coming up. All right. So with that said, exclamation point outro in the chat. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Always grateful. My name is Cristian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!